Good morning. It's the 18th of September. Our New Testament reading today is Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Purkis once again. I read. Before Jesus continued his journey southwards, he made a final and widespread appeal to the people of Israel, calling together 70 disciples whom he had probably carefully chosen and prepared for the work. He sent them unto every city and place whither he himself would come. As the 12 were destined to be the true rulers of the tribes of Israel, so the 70 were, perhaps, set in contrast to the Sanhedrin, with a greater claim to spiritual descent from those appointed to help Moses in his ministry. Their instructions did not differ greatly from those which Jesus had given to the 12 in Galilee earlier, but there is a greater impression of urgency. They were to go forth in the knowledge that the harvest was great, but the labourers few. They were to salute no man by the way, nor go from house to house. How long or how far the 70 pursued their missions, we do not know. Following his record of their departure, Luke immediately goes on to give the details of their return, omitting until afterwards any allusion to the events which had transpired in their absence. They reported that the power which Jesus had given them had been manifested with spectacular results. They did not say anything of the effects of their preaching, nor of the houses where they had found peace. They did not say how many had repented of their evil ways and now joyfully awaited the coming of the Messiah. Their delight was centred upon themselves and the works they were able to do. Lord, they cried, even the devils are subject to us. In thy name seems almost an afterthought. Without discouraging them, Jesus quietly restored their perspective. In this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. It was about this time that a lawyer came to Jesus with a simple but profound question. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Luke says he was tempting him, an expression that need not mean more than trying him. Whether his motives for doing this were good or evil is determined by the context. Many such questions were asked with the intention of humiliating and confounding him, and were suitably dealt with by Jesus. The care which he took with this lawyer indicates that his inquiry was made in the better spirit. What is written in the law? How readest thou? The man answered confidently, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. Like Jesus, this lawyer had selected the two commandments which were the fulfilment of the whole law. Jesus acknowledged it. Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. After relating the parable, Brother Purkis writes this. Beautiful as this parable is, its full message escapes us if we fail to see also a portrayal of the work of Jesus. In the Jew who left the city of God and descended across the barren wilderness to Jericho, we have a picture of Adam's fall. The price he paid for his journey we see in the mortal blows that left him dying by the roadside. The law looked upon him, but could not minister life. But in the fullness of time, the Good Samaritan came along this road of suffering and blood. He was despised and rejected, but he stooped to minister to man's need, binding up his wounds. The oil and the wine invite our grateful contemplation. The instructions to the innkeeper and the promise to come again and repay need no emphasis. Thank you for listening.